Let's pray and let's believe God to really hear from him today. And the Bible talks about the fact that whenever two or three gather together in his name, there he is right in the middle of them, which means that the presence of God is here. The presence of God is walking amongst us, and he will take his word and begin to bring life to his word into your life if you will choose to allow him to do that, in Jesus' name. So that's what I'm going to pray for. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, I thank you for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit. It helps us to understand what's truly going on in our world and in our lives. And I ask this morning that you would bring revelation into our lives, into our situation, and into our circumstance, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's one of my favorite times to be, or one of my favorite places to be, is in our Richmond Glen Allen campus. You get me worried, though, at the very start when, you know, we start with the first song. I'm looking around thinking, has the rapture happened? Is there something I didn't know about? But you all turn up in the end. The important part is that you all turn up, not just physically, but spiritually, mentally. You all turn up. You all choose to be in the house of God. You choose to put God first. Pastor Kino's been talking about go and grow. Go and grow. And it's talking about being spiritually mature. What does it mean to be spiritually mature? And I want to touch on that a little bit out of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a strange book. We're going to do a little bit more on Ephesians later in the year. And in that book, later in the year, we're going to pull it apart and look at what it's all about. But let me give you a quick synopsis. Ephesians 1, chapter 1 to chapter 3 is about this glorious church. In chapter 3, it says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ever ask, hope, or think. He's talking about this incredible collision between heaven and earth and a new humanity that is being formed. He's unpacking what the gospel is all about. And then in chapter 4 onwards, he's saying, therefore, as a result of understanding this stuff, this is how we need to behave. And then in chapter 6, he says this incredible thing, and he starts off. Grab your Bibles. Let's have a look at it. In chapter 6, verse 10, he says, a final word. Now, I want to suggest something to you. In this final word, you've got to remember Paul is writing to a church in Ephesus, in a place, and Paul is back in Rome and he's in prison. He's actually chained to a centurion, more than likely, or he's chained to some sort of guard, and he's in the middle of writing this letter. And as he writes this letter, he wants to conclude. This is an object lesson. He's thinking, how can I get these people to remember the truth that they're called to live a victorious, incredible life, that no matter what their circumstance, no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on in their life, they can still have victory, they can have power, they can have peace, they can have the presence of God. He's trying to get us to understand the power of this church. And I kind of wonder, he's just looking, he's like, he sees this Roman centurion. It's this, and he begins to think about all the things he's been saying leading up to that. And he looks at this Roman centurion and he thinks each one of these people are going to see someone like this when they are getting around in their city and their town. Each one of these people, I want them to look at that this thing, this person in armor, this military person, and I want them to remember the truth about what's going on in their life. What an amazing thing for Paul to do. That Paul understood, no matter what his circumstance, no matter where he found himself, no matter what was going on in his life, he knew that God had the victory. He knew that he was not just in the situation where he was because of what's happening. He knew that God was in control. He knew that God would make a way. He knew that no matter where he found himself, that he could find the peace of God. He could find the presence of God. He could find the power of God. It's in those moments when we think that we're lost, or we think that we don't have victory, we think that we don't, that Paul is trying to remind us we got to see differently. We got to walk differently. We got to live differently. We have got to be the people of God. We've got to bring the presence of God. He's speaking to a community of faith, the church. He's not just speaking to an individual. He's speaking to us together, the church of Jesus, that in the midst of what's going on in life, we need to grow up and we need to get spiritually mature and we need to go and grow and we need to realize who we are. And that's what's going on. And so Paul concludes his little letter to the church in Ephesus with these words, and finally, a final word. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Listen, let me say that again, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Verse 13, he says, therefore, what's the rule in Scripture? When you see the word therefore, you've got to check out what is it therefore. All right, he's saying, therefore, as a result of what I've just said, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. We're wrestling, we're standing firm, we're going to stand firm. Therefore, if you want to actually outwork this, he says, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He goes on in verse 18, he says, pray in the Spirit at all times and in every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I love this passage. You know, I started reading this passage because even our own family and our own life and our extended family, we've found situations and circumstance come against us. We found at times things have not worked out. And I was searching the Scriptures and I was saying, God, what do you do when things don't go the way you had hoped? What do you do when it doesn't work out the way you expected? The mature Christian understands that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The mature Christians understand that stuff can go wrong and doesn't seem to work out the way we'd hoped. The mature Christian understands that God is still at work. The mature Christian understands that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The mature Christian understands that we have a peace that comes from God. We have a peace that is actually in the very presence from Jesus himself. That on the inside, when everything's swirling around, there is the ability to step into the peace of God that is beyond all understanding. And I found, you have to put it on. I found myself standing, looking at the armor, looking at all the truth of the Scripture, going, isn't that a pretty breastplate of righteousness? That's a very nice helmet of salvation. Look at that shield. It's the size of a door. What a great looking shield. And instead of taking a hold of the truth of God's word, we begin to actually just look at it, and then we are assailed by the enemy wanting to take us down. He says, Paul's saying here, look, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The title of this particular message is Know Your Enemy and Know What to Do. No, you have an enemy. I think half the church doesn't realize they have an enemy. And how does that enemy come? Most people, I think most Christians think the enemy's going to turn up with a red cape, a little whatever, and a pitchfork, and poof. And in the middle of the night go, poof. I think most Christians think that the enemy's going to come and he's going to be out of the middle of the night. I found that the enemy comes more often than not in a whisper. Oh, you're not a real Christian. You expect God to bless you after what you've done? You want revival? You haven't prayed enough. Ever heard any of those words in your head? Ever been lying awake at night and everything just gets worse and worse and worse at 2 or 3 in the morning? The whole world is coming to an end. Your life will never be the same again. And you're lying there and you're thinking about your loved ones and what's going on in their life. And you're thinking, oh, God. And you picture all the things that are going on and the enemies whispering into your head. Well, see, it's all your fault. And we're standing on the outside going, what a lovely helmet of salvation. Isn't that a beautiful shield? Wow. That's a nice looking sword in the closet. What a nice little belt of truth. We won't have time to unpack every one of these. We might unpack one or two of them as we go on today. I just want us to see a number of things when we leave here this morning. We have an enemy, but we have all the weapons of God at our disposal to defeat what the enemy throws at us. We have all the power of heaven at our disposal that will bring about his purpose in your life and in your family and in your neighbors and in your workplace. No matter what you see, no matter what is going on, God is for you. God is on your side. God is at work in your life. And greater is he that's in you. No matter what it looks like at the moment, God wants to turn it around for good in your life. That's the story of the gospel. That's the whole theme of the Bible. Humanity starts off, makes a mistake in the garden, crashes and burns in the situation. What does God do? He steps in and makes a way. Just starts to get all good and then evil gets all over the world and all things happen. God steps in and redeems it and makes a way. All the way through the Bible, you'll see the good news of God's involvement in humanity all the time, where God steps in and brings it about. And humanity, us, we keep going, God was here and I never knew it. And we as Christians are meant to be the light of the world. So it's time we grew up and got a spiritual maturity that understood what's going on, and we put on God's word. We begin to live out of the truth of that word and understand what's going on. So here's a few thoughts. You need to know, number one, you need to know about evil in this world. Bruce Clark, he's a seminary teacher. He made this great statement. He's an author and he writes incredibly well. He says, it seems to me that when I'm in conflict, there's one truth that I quickly and repeatedly lose sight of. Knowing who my enemy is, I regularly misidentify my enemy as my spouse, my kids, my fellow church leaders or laity, brothers and sisters in the Lord who disagree with me. Non-Christian voices or movements within our culture, this or that politician, this corporate executive, author, and the list will go on. But incredibly, this is what Bruce is saying, but incredibly, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says that actually none of these persons are my enemy, nor can they ever be. When calling the Christians in Ephesus to be ready, to ready themselves for spiritual warfare, he states, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's an annoying part of the passage. Because I get regularly upset with people. Don't you? People do things that bug me. People do things and disagree with me. And there's a tendency in us to make that person my enemy. They are not our enemy. They are the people that Jesus died on a cross for and says that I put my love in your heart by the Holy Spirit so that you can love them. How do you love someone that says such dumb things? That's what Paul is trying to address here. Now, maybe sometimes they're not saying dumb things. Maybe I'm saying the dumb thing. But you understand what I'm saying. What happens in life, if we're not careful as Christians, we begin to see people or an idea as our enemy or the people behind that idea as an enemy, and we don't realize there are spiritual forces at work. And in the midst of what's going on, there are spiritual voices at work that are actually propagating ideas and actually beginning to bring that idea often in our own lives and in our own thinking, in our own and the way in which we live our lives. And Paul's advice, he says, put on the whole armor of God. And what is he really saying? He's saying, take a hold of the truths, the benefits, the privileges of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of what you were born again for, of what we're all about. Take advantage of all that and begin to wear it and put it on so that you'll have victory over every thought, over every aspect of what's going on in your life, and you can look at things that come against you and you can rise up as a group together. We can stand together and we can begin to see God's victory at work in our situation and circumstance. That's what Paul's trying to say. He's trying to remind you of what is going on when it's talking about this. So no person, and Augustine put it even further. Augustine, St. Augustine from the 4th century, he was the Bishop of Hippo. He said, if you have to go to war, there is one criteria you've got to have. You've got to love that enemy. How do you do that? How do you love someone that wants to kill you? Well, only Christians can do that. Why? Because God's love is available in our hearts so we can love people even though they may hate us. Why? Because he loved you before you loved him. And while we were yet enemies of him, he still loved us. What a confusing world. We have to change our thinking. We have to choose a different way of seeing. We have to grow up as Christians and recognize that God has created a new humanity when he decided that he would get the church and get people born again, and he would change the way we would see the world. We would change the way authority and structures and all. He would change us so that we could live a life of victory even in the midst of what the world says is that you are defeated. Getting quiet in here. Thank you. One person sort of getting excited. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the armor of God is about all the benefits and the privileges that we have as believers in Jesus. And we're living in a world that needs that as much as it did back in Paul's day. In our day and what's going on in our nation and in our families, and in our, we need to put on the armor of God so we can think straight. We need to put on the armor of God so we can behave straight. We need to put on the armor of God so we can be the light. We can bring God's purpose into the situation and circumstance. And that is what we're all about. So we got to know that our enemy is actually not a person. It is about the evil in the world of spiritual powers at work. I'm not suggesting that you need to go around rebuking the north and demons in the south and whatever else. Most of our fight comes in here, where we begin to think wrong, see wrong, and therefore behave wrong and feel wrong. And Paul's saying, stop it. Put on the helmet of salvation. Remind yourself of who you are. Breastplate of righteousness. You know what he's saying? When you start beginning to think that you're all that in a bag of chips because you've prayed and you start fighting the devil, well, devil, you know, I've been good. He'll take you out every time. Because the truth is, none of us have been good. Only God has been good, and He paid the price. And so when the devil starts saying, well, you're not praying enough, you're not doing enough, you just got to remind the devil, ah, that's true, devil. But God, Jesus did. And he transferred, he gave me his righteousness, so I stand here right before God. And it's got nothing to do with what my works are. It's got nothing to do with how much I pray or how little I pray. It's all to do with what God is about, and I'm about God's business. I would say and suggest it's a good idea to pray. I'm not suggesting otherwise. I'm saying we don't pray just to get God to move. We pray because of who we are as God's people, and we're involved in His movement across this planet, and we are wanting to be a part of that, and we're wanting to see it happening. So number one, know your enemy. Number two, understand the metaphor of the armor. The armor reminds us of the benefits and the privileges of the gospel applied in our lives. Every piece of that armor is to remind you of the reality of the power and the benefit of being born again, spirit-filled, triumphant, and blessed. This means you can have peace in the middle of a storm. Remember when the disciples were in a boat? If you've never read it in the Gospels, the disciples in the boat, and they're going along in the boat, and they wake Jesus up. Jesus is asleep in the middle of the boat, and they wake Jesus up, and Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'm terribly sorry, I forgot to give you faith. He doesn't say, I'm terribly sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. What does he say? He says, where is your faith? Where was the faith of those disciples? In the storm. That storm's going to kill us. That storm's going to take us out. That storm is going to do more damage than what we... That storm is going to ruin our future. Sound familiar? Where does that voice come from? It comes from the spiritual forces out work behind.
It's like, you're going to die. You're never going to find victory.
But understand the metaphor of the armor. Paul uses a military symbol. There's one thing about military that I know. When you're in the military, they don't ask you to do stuff. Isn't that true? Would you mind, if it's not too much, to storm that hill and to take it, please? You don't find in the military people going, look, can we do it at 11s? Just a bit busy. I need a little bit of sleep in. I'm feeling a little tired today. I got a bit of a headache. I can't. When you're in the army or the navy or the military, what happens? If you say no, what do? They arrest you and either shoot you or put you in jail. Obedience is not optional if you're in the military. Isn't that true? You know, when we're in the kingdom of God, obedience was never optional. We may not have realized that at the time when we came in through the front door, but the reality is God is looking for obedience, not agreement. Most of us want to get into agreement with God, and that's not bad. I'm not suggesting, but we want God to explain it and to tell us everything about it, and then we'll do it. Do you know what that sounds like? A four-year-old child. But why? But why? But why? Isn't that true? God is looking for obedience. If you want to defeat the enemy, you can't do it by, but why? You've got to do it by whatever God says we need to do. We need to get a hold of what God says and begin to apply it in our life. I need to start thinking what God says, not what everyone else is saying. I need to get a hold of my emotions and bring them into subjectivity of what God says. Which is why we need one another. Because I can't do it by myself. Left to my own devices, I got news for you. I'm not real good. Left to myself. You know, if you're facing an incredible thing in your life of stuff going on, you know what you need? Is people to pray with you and for you. That's why Paul goes on after explaining the armor of God in chapter 6, and he says, pray for me and Christians everywhere. Why? Because we need strength, we need revelation, we need to understand. Spiritual forces coming against us means we need to begin to lean into God's presence. Isn't that amazing? You and I need to understand this whole metaphor that Paul suddenly looks at this centurion and goes, that is what we've got to do. We need to be obedient to what God is saying. And it's interesting that he starts off by saying about the belt of truth. Every piece of armor is to remind you. You know what the belt of truth's all about? It's about holding up your clothes. When you're running in the battle as a guy and your pants fall down, it's not only embarrassing, you're going to fall over. So what's Paul saying? He's saying get rid of the things that are flapping in the breeze. Begin to get life under control. Find the things that trip you up. He says it in Corinthians, the sin that so easy gets a hold of us. Get rid of the stuff that's going to trip us up. Get rid of the negative attitude. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the stuff that begins to cause you to not make it to the other side. A lot of Christians are not living in victory. Why? Because they haven't got truth. You read your Bible once every now and then just for the heck of it. How do you hold your life together when we're not even reading what God is saying? I think God said. Isn't that the original problem and the garden? Did God say? Well, I'm not real sure. Half of us are like that. Did God say? Well, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. That's why we need one another, because if you're not real sure, ask somebody. Don't do life alone. That's why we have these little community groups, so that we can get together and pray with one another, encourage one another, stir one another up, so that we can begin to see God at work in our life. This military metaphor, the metaphor of being in the military, tells us we're not just here for happy days. We've got a business, we've got business to take care of, and there is a need for obedience and not agreement. As a need for obedience and not agreement. Frankly, when we're facing the battles of our life, our opinion is not necessarily what God is looking for. Have you noticed that about your kids? If you've got children, you're not really interested in their opinion at certain points. You know, if you need to get them somewhere, get in the car. Well, I don't think I should sit in the car right now. Get in the car! Isn't that what happens? The Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts for you? God is looking for us to be obedient to what he's saying. And in fact, it's not blind obedience. In fact, I think Christianity is one of the... I think you need to be thinking about what God is saying. You need to be rational. Too many Christians lost their brain somewhere in the night. Too many Christians are just, I don't know what happened to them. Maybe air got up there. I don't know what happened. But we are called, you know, Christianity is rational. But it's rational within the context of understanding God's perspective. God asks you to think on these things. Notice it doesn't say feel about these things. Whatsoever is good. Think on this stuff. He says, renew your mind. He says, get your thinking under control and think through things and have a reason for your faith. Getting quiet again in here. If you want to defeat the whispers of the enemy into your life, you got to know what you believe. And that doesn't happen by saying, well, today I'm going to read the entire Bible in the whole afternoon and then I'll understand everything God has got to say. No, it comes from daily reading, digging, talking, being together, coming together, gathering together, talking about it, getting into a discussion about stuff. Do you know it's okay to ask questions? Too many Christians don't ask questions. And therefore, they believe dumb things. I'm one of them. Isn't that true? I'm glad you didn't say yes, because that could have been connected. I'm one of those dumb ones. Too many of us don't ask enough questions. Why is Paul saying that? Why does the Bible say that? Now, sometimes there isn't an answer that we can get right now. But you know what? That's why God is God. Do you know if God If everything about your understanding about God is totally 100% sorted, you probably haven't met him. Because by definition, God is greater and bigger. But I'll say this as well. If you have everything where you're like, oh, well, I just don't really know, I'm just a Christian because I'm just a Christian, then you really haven't met him either. Because he wants you to know him. Paul's using a metaphor about being in the military to underscore the need to dare to trust God and obey. He's asking you to consider and to think, not to operate from your experience and feelings. He's asking you to be reflective, to ask tough questions, but he's asking you to be obedient. He is someone we can trust. Here's the third thought. In the few minutes I've got, put the armor on. You know, there's a spiritual battle that's coming to all of us. It's no good to ask the devil, would you mind, devil? Just give me a couple of minutes. I just need to get my helmet on so it's covering my mind so that I get my thinking sorted out. Remember when the devil tempted Jesus? It was at the weakest point of his life. He'd been in the desert praying and fasting. And he came, not on the first day, but on the 40th day, and began to tempt Jesus. You've got to begin to put it on. In other words, you've got to get to understand what salvation's all about. The Bible talks about salvation, about being saved, shall be saved, and yet to be saved. In other words, you know, the longer I've been a Christian, the more I realize how much saving I really need. The more I'm a Christian, the more I discover how bad I really am. The more I'm a Christian, you know, we think that we become born again and poof, instantly, hallelujah, or bless the Lord. It's great when you're a new Christian. Instantly you're like, oh, I feel like I belong and all that. But then as you grow, you realize, how could I be thinking that? How can I understand that? Why would I be doing that? And the longer I'm a Christian, the more I see my need of salvation. Salvation is instant, but it also continues. It starts and it doesn't stop until we meet him face to face. So if you've got stuff in your life that you yet to work out, thank God, you're still alive. Because when we got it all sorted, you'll be meeting him face to face. Time's up. Do you understand? So many of us want the perfect, to be the perfect Christian. Yes, let's get better. Yes, let's get on the journey. But there are things in our life that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us. The more I get to know Jesus, the more I see him, and the more I realize who I am. That's what putting on the armor is all about. It's about putting on that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having my feet shod with the peace. In other words, to have peace in my life, to having the sword of the Spirit operating. You know, it starts off by talking about two pieces of, it just starts off by talking about the belt of truth, which is general truth about understanding who God is. And then it finishes with this sword of the Spirit, which is again the Word of God. So it starts with the Word of God, it finishes with the Word of God, but one is a general understanding, the other one is a rhema, a God-breathed understanding. When I'm in the middle of a battle, when I'm facing issues and stuff in my life, you know what I need? I need to find what God's Word says about it, and it needs to come alive in me, and suddenly now I've now actually got something I can fight with, that I can stand on, that I can understand, and I can push back on. That's what it's about. So it starts with God's Word, and then it's the application and understanding and beginning to get a revelation of what God's Word is all about. And that's what Paul was trying to get us to see when he wrote to this church in the middle of Ephesus. And Ephesus was a weird and wonderful, wacky place. had the great temple to the great goddess Diana. It had all sorts of weird and wonderful things going on. We look back and we think, well, those people back then don't understand what we have to face. They don't fully understand. They would never fully understand. But they had basically the same stuff going on. They had false information coming at them. They had weird stuff going on. They had political powers that were against them. They had all sorts of stuff that was causing them to stumble. And we look at them and think, well, what a wonderful, you know, I wish we could live back then. They faced the same stuff that we face, only in a different context. So that's why the Word of God is powerful. And that's why Paul's metaphor of this Roman centurion, which you and I don't see much today. If you walk out and find a Roman centurion out in the hallway or something or other, it's probably from the kids' program. You don't see it out there, but you do know you need to put a belt on to keep your pants up. You do know that when you're riding a motorcycle, it's good to have a helmet on because you've got to protect your head from time to time. It's good to know if you're facing, if you're in the middle of a military, it might be good to wear a bulletproof vest. It might be good to duck behind something when someone's throwing stuff at you. It's exactly the same. It's just we've got to see the metaphor for what it is. Hey, we're in a spiritual battle. This is not a message about, oh, we're in a battle. This is a message that you've got the victory. You've got all the weapons and armor of God that you'll ever need to make it through to the other side. If you're sitting there going, I don't know how I'm going to make it, well, that means that you haven't understood what you've got and who you are and what you're a part of. And we all at times feel like that. We all at times feel stuff coming against us so much that we think, I don't know how I'm going to survive. That's human. That's what it's all about. That's why we belong to a body of people called the church, who are full of faith, who are praying for you and believing God for you, that will stand with you and will begin to breathe life and hope into your situation. Why? Because we're on the winning team. Jesus died on a cross for you and I so that we can understand what it's truly like to be alive and live. That in the midst of stuff going on, we can find peace. And if you're sitting there going, well, I haven't found that peace, you just haven't engaged enough. Step in and become spiritually mature and begin to engage and be a part of this thing that you are a part of. Let's choose. Let's choose to live with power. Let's choose to make it to the other side. Let's put our faith in Jesus and not in the storm. Let's put our faith in His Word and not in what everybody else is saying. Let's put our faith in how God sees it and understands it, not in my feelings. One of the biggest lies of this world is my truth. Your truth. You want to live by your truth? More power to you. I want to live by His truth. Because His truth gives me something to stand on. His truth is everlasting. His truth will sustain me. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But there is a spiritual force we do wrestle. And it's not this thing that we think, this pitchfork devil. It's thoughts and stuff, attitudes and actions that we're called to bring into submission. And to begin to see and live in a way that brings light to the world, that shows people that there's a greater strength in you than what's in them. If your family's yet to be saved, don't stop believing. While there's still breath, there's still hope. If people have got sickness in your world, keep speaking life over them. If people keep on coming against you, man, get together with some people and pray together. That's what we're all about. Imagine a company of believers that would dare to be what the Bible says they can be. Imagine a group of people that would dare to be here in Glen Allen who dare to believe God's word over their lives, that would dare to pray for one another, dare to stand with one another, dare to lift one another's hands and help one another out. And then reach out to people around them to bring this world into relationship with Jesus. In Jesus' name.